Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Recruiting Every Second, the Believe Podcast Network show that brings you everything SEC football recruiting. And man, today it is all going to be about the South Carolina Gamecocks. Of course, this year is a year of transition. They've brought on Shane Beamer, former tight end coach at the and assistant head coach at Oklahoma. Also was at Georgia before that, has been at South Carolina before. So we're going to get into all that and kind of how he can turn the Gamecocks around after they fell off a little bit under the end of the Will Muschamp reign there. But to break it all down with me, I have a special guest from GamecockCentral.com. It's Mr. Colin Taylor. Colin, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely happy to hop on, and it's always a good time when we get to talk about SEC football, no matter how when in the calendar it is.
No doubt. It's always good. And if you're watching on the since I also write for Bulldog Illustrated, the Bulldog Illustrated YouTube channel is where you can catch this on the YouTube version. Make sure to subscribe to that, because there are some exclusive YouTube things that I put out there, like a interview I just did with Oscar Delp and Kojo Antwi. But if you are watching there, or if you're not on the podcast, I'll tell you, you can follow Colin at Colin, that's C-O-L-L-Y, Taylor, at on Twitter, Instagram, GamecockCentral.com right there, so you can catch all this stuff. So, Colin, Shane Beamer era has begun, and spring ball has come and gone. There's already some people saying the honeymoon has been worn off, because some people were not happy with some of the stuff that happened in the spring game. Some people are just fine with it. What's the vibe over there in Columbia after the spring football?
Yeah, so far so good. For the most part, the honeymoon's still intact. Hasn't lost a game yet. Hasn't had anyone transfer from the program yet. I mean, it's what it's supposed to be in May of your first off season at a new job. So I'll give Shane a lot of kudos. He's done a really good job endearing himself to the fan base. I mean, he's very popular with the former players, and has done a good job getting out in the community and trying to connect with the fan base. And he's done a very, very good job of it so far. So it's about as well as you've expected it to when you hired Shane back in December for where it is right now.
And of course, being popular with the former players and in the community probably has a lot to do with the fact that when Shane was there, the 2007 to 2011 run, South Carolina was very successful in those years. And Shane Beamer was actually the 2010 and 2011 classes. He was the recruiting coordinator under Steve Spurrier for those classes that didn't necessarily finish up in the charts in terms of overall rankings, but the results that they had out of those classes with guys like Marcus Lattimore, Connor Shaw, Jadeveon Clowney, Demir Bird, even had Ace Sanders in there who produced well for South Carolina. So I think that familiarity right there is kind of in his relationships with some of those past recruits that turned out to be South Carolina greats. I mean, that's got to have people excited over there in Columbia.
Yeah, even just the fact that Shane Beamer gets to name drop those guys. I mean, even though he wasn't recruiting coordinator for part of it, I think he was one of the main guys to help with Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, when you start throwing out some of the biggest names in South Carolina football over the last 15 years, Alshon Jeffrey, Marcus Lattimore, Connor Shaw, Devontae Holloman, Stephon Gilmore, all these guys, Shane Beamer had a hand in helping recruit. And anytime he can mention them in a press conference, he does. He has them out to practice. He had a big hand in some of the classes that helped reshape the perception of South Carolina in the early 2000s and early 2010s. And yeah, he's hoping he can kind of rekindle some of that magic, because it wasn't just a lot of high profile guys. I mean, obviously you got Clowney and Lattimore and Jeffrey and Gilmore, but Connor Shaw was a 3-star. Ace Sanders was, you know, kind of unheard of. So a lot of diamonds in the rough to go along with some very, very high-end talent, and Beamer was a big part of how they helped kind of lure some of those guys in.
And I think one focus before we get into kind of the nuts and bolts of recruiting, you know, of the 2021 class that we'll touch on, which Shane Beamer came on with only like 11 days left to go before the signing day period. So he didn't have a whole lot to do with this past class, but he does have a lot to do with this 2022 class that they're building right now. And we'll get into that in just a second. But want to touch on one reason that probably Shane Beamer got this job is for background with offense, being from Oklahoma, under Lincoln Riley, one of the most explosive offenses, have produced, you know, multiple Heisman Trophy winners now. So, you know, Heisman finalist every year, just rack up a bunch of points. I know that had to be a selling point for South Carolina, because I wanted to point these stats out to you, and I was actually talking to you this before the show. In 2016, South Carolina was 116th in the country out of 128 teams in scoring at 20.8 points a game. 2017, 99th with 24.2. 2018, they jump up to 57. That was Will Muschamp's 9-4 year, 30.1 points per game. The next year, 2019, 104th at 22.4. And then last year, 99th at 23.5. So safe to say in college football today, Colin, I don't think 24 points a game is going to get it done anymore. Do you feel like Shane Beamer's offensive pedigree and stuff like that is something else that really caught the attention of the brass there at South Carolina?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that certainly didn't hurt him in the interview process. Another, you know, obviously merging what Lincoln Riley has done at Oklahoma and the stuff he's picked up there with Marcus Satterfield, his offensive coordinator, has studied under Joe Brady. So the goal is to try to blend two incredibly sharp offensive minds and their schemes into one at South Carolina. And you hope that could, because this offense has been bad the last 2 years, and you hope that.
I love the emphasis. Just bad.
Yeah, bad. I mean, you take away Kevin Harris from last year's offense, and it was just, I mean, it was tough to watch at times. And even with Kevin Harris playing the way he was, it was just sometimes just tough. But you hope that some of the Lincoln Riley schematics and some of the Joe Brady stuff that he did at LSU and with the Panthers that Marcus Satterfield learned pay dividends, and you're able to kind of exploit some matchups. And a big thing Beamer is going to be tasked to do is rebuild the culture a little bit. And I think he's done taking some big strides in that over the course of winter workouts and spring football. And they're in a much better place than what they were in when he took that job in December.
I believe he and Satterfield are kind of deeming it the Gamecock offense is what when they were asked about. I know that as a reporter, you have to love some good, solid coach speak like that as much as I do. So that's good stuff there. Here with Colin Taylor. Again, you can follow him at Colin, that's C-O-L-L-Y Taylor on Twitter. He is with GamecockCentral.com. I'm Blaine Gilmer at BGilmer18. This is Recruiting Every Second, a Believe podcast network show. And we're covering the South Carolina Gamecocks and the recruiting and changes that are coming under Shane Beamer. So now, Colin, let's touch on that 2021 class. Wasn't a whole lot in terms of high school coming in as far as national lure. They finished 79th in the country, not highly rated by the recruiting industry. However, and also dead last in the SEC, but they did bring in 8 transfers. And I think some of those transfers we were talking about before are really going to make a difference. We talked about the Jordan Strawn, which if you look at his last name, folks, it does not look like Strawn, but it is. I've learned that through Colin here, was researching. He led FBS in sacks last year at Georgia State, a very productive edge rusher, Jakeem Green, a defensive tackle from Nebraska, Amarian Brown, who made some plays during his time at Georgia Tech, and then David Spaulding, a defensive back. So, Colin, just kind of touch on those guys and what maybe South Carolina fans have to look forward to in those transfers that are coming in for Shane Beamer here.
Yeah, it's a class that I know the coaching staff believes that if recruiting rankings took into account transfer classes, that it would be a lot higher than 79th. And, Jordan, you know, these guys, they brought in a bunch of guys that have chances to play and play early. I mean, Jordan Strawn is a elite edge rusher, has produced at, you know, Georgia State and played well against Tennessee when he played top level opposition. And you hope that he can kind of parlay that into some success outside again, you know, opposite a JJ Edingbari, who was all SEC last year, and Jordan Birch, who was a former five-star freshman. So him and Amarian Brown, who you can maybe put in the slot and have some good things happen because they're so thin at wide receiver. You hope that he can step up and play right away. And they just have a bunch of guys that I you know, David Spaulding's probably a day one starter. They brought him in and he's probably going to start at their nickel spot in that 4-2-5 defense Clayton White wants to run. And it's just a class. I mean, Jakeem Green, another big body on that defensive line. I think the defensive line is actually going to be pretty good this year with Jabari Ellis, a returning starter, Zach Pickens, who is a former five-star kid, and Jakeem Green, who was actually, you know, South Carolina pursued him under Will Muschamp's staff, and he ended up going to Nebraska instead. So getting to bring a South Carolina kid home with Jakeem Green. And this is a class that's heavily reliant on transfers because the, you know, the freshman class is good. It's just okay. They have some potential standouts there in a Bam Scott, a JUCO linebacker, a Colton Gauthier, who's, you know, four-star quarterback on Rivals. I mean, there's some talent there, but top to bottom, I mean, you're really hanging your hat on having, being able to get these freshmen, or not freshmen, but these transfers to be able to produce and produce quickly.
Colton Gauthier, wanted to talk to you about him. How did his first spring go there at South Carolina? I know that Shane Beamer came out of spring and, to the surprise of some people, went ahead and named Luke Doty the starter coming out of spring. But how did the freshman from Decatur, Georgia look?
He looked pretty good. A guy that has kind of mastered, not mastered, but is more advanced into the playbook than maybe you'd expect a 19-year-old kid who should be getting ready to graduate high school to be. Because he enrolled early. So Marcus Satterfield, Shane Beamer were very complimentary of him at the beginning of spring and afterwards, just about, you know, how far along he's come in the playbook. And now it's about getting his physical tools and being able to read defenses a little bit better as he goes into this summer and then into the fall. But yeah, Luke Doty, you know, is by far and away the best quarterback right now. And now it's a matter of how much, you know, how much ground a Gauthier or a Jason Brown transfer can make up over the summer to push him.
With Gauthier, interesting note out there for people. One reason he may be a little more mentally prepared than most freshmen, he played for Jeff Saturday, who was the center for Peyton Manning in high school. Peyton Manning's center with the Colts for his big run there. He was Colton Gauthier's head coach at Hebron Christian there in Georgia. So, definitely got coached up the right way. Who knows? He may even have Peyton Manning's cell phone number. He may even be able to have that kind of connection there. We don't know. But now kind of moving on to this class of 2022, some big developments have happened recently. They had to decommit, but then also Donovan Westmoreland, South Carolina flips Donovan Westmoreland, a four-star linebacker out of Griffin, Georgia, from the University of Georgia. He decommitted from Georgia, committed to Georgia in the same day. And then, of course, another Georgia guy, before we get to the quarterback in the class, another Georgia guy, Grayson Maines out of Lambert High School in Suwanee, Georgia, 6'5", 270-ish pounds right now, three-star. Just talk about those two Georgia guys that they've got right now in the fold.
Yeah, a lot of high upside with them. Grayson Maines is someone they're very high on. Was their, I believe, their first commitment in the class, and or one of their first. I think Anthony Rose might have been their actual first before decommitting. So he's now the de facto first commitment in the class. So
first, last, remaining, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a very underrated, a guy that I think could come in and make an impact at some level, whether that's special teams early or obviously getting on the offensive line. But someone that I think, you know, is good to build around. And then Westmoreland, an edge rusher, linebacker type that, I mean, obviously was good enough to get not only get an offer, but have Georgia accept his commitment at the time. And someone that they can put on the edge and really have some speed out there. So, very good building blocks for your front seven defensively and for what's, you know, and obviously an insanely important part of your offense to get not just in this class, but early in the class to where you can kind of build around it.
Then there's also the kind of quarterback saga that goes on through every class. Originally, the South Carolina class had Gunnar Stockton committed to it. Gunnar, former, you know, depending on what recruiting site you're looking at, either four or five star quarterback. and Gunnar Stockton, now committed to the University of Georgia, was very, very close to Mike Bobo and the Bobo family. The Stocktons and the Bobos have known each other for a very long time. That was a big part of why Gunnar committed. Also very close to the Muschamps as well. So that situation changed, and so did the commitment of Gunnar Stockton. But then that makes room to bring in another quarterback in the class, and Braydon Davis comes in, a four-star dual-threat quarterback who is, in my opinion, more athletic than Gunnar Stockton, and coming in from up the New England area up there. So he's coming down south. Tell us a little bit about Braydon Davis, the four-star they just got the commitment from here recently.
Yeah, and I'd agree with you. I think he is a little bit more athletic, a little bit more mobile than Gunnar Stockton. Gunnar Stockton's arm talent is just – there's not many quarterbacks in this 2022 class with the arm talent that is Gunnar Stockton. But Braydon Davis is a very good quarterback. I think he fits what Marcus Satterfield wants to do a little bit more than maybe what Gunnar Stockton did. I know Marcus Satterfield probably wants to have quarterbacks on the run a little bit more, rolling them out. So, and this is, I mean, oddly enough, this is their third Delaware kid on this roster. I mean, they obviously went up into Delaware to get Marshawn Lloyd under the old staff, but Debo Williams, Marshawn Lloyd's buddy from school, transferred down here in January, and now they're back up there again to go get their quarterback in this class. So very interesting. I think it's a good pickup for South Carolina, and I think anytime you can get your quarterback incredibly early in the process, which is where things are right now, I know quarterbacks commit early, but getting a guy like this early in the process to help you recruit and get onto campus for officials and unofficial visits to help get guys into the boat, certainly helps. And I think it's a good pickup for South Carolina to kind of get a guy that has a really high upside to him and can come in and, you know, when he gets on campus, compete for, you know, snaps early. I think you have a pretty good quarterback room with him and Luke Doty and Colton Gauthier and Jason Brown in there as well.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's not like Braydon Davis was any kind of,
He's not a slouch.
He wasn't overlooked, guys. Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, Arkansas, like everybody was coming after him, you know, several Big Ten schools as well, but everybody knows you don't want to play in the Big Ten. This is SEC recruiting. That's where all the kids want to go. No, but speaking of some South Carolina guys that they're still recruiting, some big recruiting battles out there for South Carolina that are going to kind of determine their direction in this class. I mentioned earlier that on Recruiting Every Second over on the Bulldog Illustrated YouTube channel, I interviewed Oscar Delp recently, and Oscar Delp is a tight end, a 2022 tight end, four-star out of West Forsyth High School in Cumming, Georgia, and Oscar's mom went to the University of South Carolina, so some family ties there. I know they're recruiting him very, very hard. Another tight end, Jaleel Skinner, out of Greer, South Carolina. The tight end position interests me because that is, I mean, that's Shane Beamer's baby right there. I mean, he's coached tight ends at Georgia. He's coached tight ends at Oklahoma. So definitely he's got a lot to talk up to those tight ends. Like, hey guys, I was a tight end coach. We're going to use the tight end. I mean, don't you think?
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest here. Every SEC fan base, the running joke is they want to throw to the tight end more. No matter what, you can be averaging 50 points a game. And it's, why don't we throw to the tight end more? The tight end is always open. So
I posted that video with Oscar Delp to Kojo Antoi, because Antoi is getting recruited by Alabama. I posted it to an Alabama message board, and somebody mistakenly thought I was talking about Oscar Delp for them. They said, well, we'll never get a five-star tight end here. We don't throw the tight end. I'm like, this is Alabama. Yeah. This is Alabama, you know, complaining about the tight end use. You're exactly right. But yeah, continue.
Yes, it's tight end is something that they've – South Carolina's actually had a pretty good stretch of tight ends come across through the program, Hayden Hurst being one of them. Nick Muse has gotten a lot of reps, has played pretty well at times, and they're really relying heavily on recruiting that side of it for Delp. I mean, I think Delp is priority number one in this class for them. Obviously has ties to the university. It seems like South Carolina and Georgia, the two early front runners for him. So now it's just about being able to get him on campus and, you know, hopefully putting a good enough pitch in front of him to land him, because if they do, then that's your tight end of the future. And you're able to kind of build an offense around him, because Marcus Satterfield has not been coy about saying how much he wants to use the tight ends. For every and South Carolina fans have eaten every last bit of it up, because always, always, always throw him a tight
Use
end.
the tight end.
Use the tight end, no matter what. Use the tight end.
Well, I've seen Oscar Delp play in person, and if South Carolina is able to pull in Oscar Delp, they're getting more than just traditional tight end. This guy can split out. He can do everything all over the field. And Jahlil Skinner, of course, is just a huge athlete, guy that can really has a large catch radius. Now, two wide receivers, and the reason I'm talking about tight ends and wide receivers mainly is because running back position looks pretty good for South Carolina going forward. The guys they've got there, you mentioned Lloyd there, Harris. I mean, they've got guys that look pretty good. And then now we've got Antonio Williams, Chandler Smith are two guys that they're targeting very heavily in this class of 2022. Chandler Smith is already set up for his official visit. This young man ran a 10.28 meter dash recorded. That is
that's good.
For all of you that don't know, the receiver out of Ole Miss, the big receiver in the NFL, DK Metcalf. I'm escaped my brain there for a second, but DK Metcalf just ran in like an Olympic trial event. He ran a 10.3.
Yeah.
And here's Chandler Smith, or Chandler CJ Smith. He goes by CJ too, out of Orlando, Florida, 10.28 100 meter dash. Definitely some speed they're going after there.
Yeah, I mean, he is the real deal too. Offensive weapon. They have ties to Florida with obviously defensive back coach Torian Gray, who's recruited that area forever. And then Justin Stepp is a fantastic recruiter at the wide receiver position. So he's a priority. And then Antonio Williams, I mean, just that dude's – he plays for a powerhouse in Dutch Fork, can really go out and ball. I mean, dude's being recruited by everybody in the country. And South Carolina, I think they had him on unofficially on campus. He watched the spring game, and he'll be on campus again when visits are allowed. And they're pursuing him hard, and Justin Stepp's going after him incredibly hard, because they really haven't had a whole lot of success out of Dutch Fork recently. And they want to change that, because it's been an absolute football factory for the last, I guess, 6, 7, 8 years.
Oh yeah, the Irmo, South Carolina area really produces a lot of good talent. And last thing I want to talk to you about, you know, we talked about some of those guys that they've got Donovan Westmoreland from Georgia, Grayson Mains from Georgia that we talked about earlier. I feel like when South Carolina recruiting is at its best, they're able to dip into Georgia and South Carolina pretty heavily. Are the thoughts because of Shane Beamer being with Kirby Smart and his first couple years there at Georgia as the tight end coach and special teams coordinator there, the relationships he had to build going out recruiting in that state, does that feel pretty good for South Carolina? They're going to be able to, and certainly the early signs are there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that they're not going to stop in Georgia. They're not going to stop, you know, that's going to be a big piece of it. And it's not necessarily, I mean, they'd love to beat out Georgia for, you know, five-star talent, top 50 talent. But that's tough to do when Georgia comes calling. But the key is to find the guys that kind of fly under the radar. You saw some of that in when they had their big runs. I mean, Connor Shaw was a guy that wasn't too heavily recruited, and you land him. The key is to make sure you get guys that can play that maybe other schools aren't on as heavily, and then you beat out a Georgia Tech for them, or you beat out a Florida or a Florida State. They're really delving into Georgia hard, Florida. And one of the spots that, oddly enough, because Oklahoma, during his time there, they really didn't have a in-state base to recruit. He had to go out and recruit nationally. And so they've really delved into the Delaware and New England and Virginia areas, because they have some connections up there with Shane Beamer, obviously, having coached at Virginia Tech and his dad being, you know, who his dad is. You have some connections in the DMV area, and Pete Limbo, who is their special teams coordinator, has some connections in the Northeast. So, I mean, Georgia's going to be a priority. South Carolina, the state as a whole, is going to be a priority. Florida is, but I mean, they're going to delve into the Northeast too to try to pull some really good players from up there that want to come play SEC football. And it was funny, Pete Limbo said once that South Carolina is one of the more, it's the shortest drive to an SEC school from Washington, D.C. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, there's no way that's right. And then I plug it into Google Maps and it is. So they're going to recruit that area heavily over the course of the next couple of years as they try to pull in some talent from a oft under recruited area and get him into the SEC.
Well, there you heard it, folks, from the mouth of Colin Taylor with GamecockCentral.com. Hope springs eternal for South Carolina football under the Shane Beamer era and the recruiting that they're going to be doing over there. Colin, certainly appreciate you joining us here on this episode of Recruiting Every Second.
Absolutely. Always appreciate you having on. And it's like I said before, it's never a bad time to talk about SEC football.
That's it. Make sure, guys, that you check out all the information down in the description on Colin and on myself. You can follow Recruiting Every Second using @recruiting_SEC. And thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure to like, subscribe, review, and we'll catch you next time on Recruiting Every Second.